This afternoon, Jams, the big boys in the building, OGs. Big Rod, what's happening, man?
Yeah, what's up, bro? What's up?
So, it's about to get complicated for a minute. This is some educational stuff we about to drop on you.
Absolutely. Still real.
So, we're going to try to simplify it as much as we can. We got Darwin Smith in the building. How's the OG doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. You know, anytime I'm on the wake-up list in the land of the living, amen, I can serve my purpose.
There you go. There you go. So we're talking about marijuana license, Muskegon. Darwin, being a front man that you are, being the guy who was on the cutting edge of everything, you saw that, in your opinion, that people were being left out of opportunities in the city of Muskegon Heights and around the state, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, because where it started at, in 2008, I went to the Democratic Convention with Nancy Waters, Real Estate and Wilkins, and Colorado was a test state. And being delegates, they took us around to every facility, and Obama was showing people what could be done in America when Prohibition was over with marijuana. And Colorado, being the first test state, had a surplus with the tax money. And so because it's so successful, the rest of the Democratic governors around the country want to implement it in their state. So this is what helped Governor Whitner in 2015 get elected, and 2019 get elected, because the 18 to 40 came out in droves to the polls.
Right. Right. So you seen that the laws in Muskegon Heights and throughout the state were kind of like alienating people of color. When it came down to opportunity to be in this legal game of marijuana.
Well, you know, it's the same thing that Kwame Nkrumah said in Africa, is that when the whites left, you had the black bourgeois came in and they tried to first deal with everything, real estate licenses. So I want to just kind of be a little vague with it, but it's kind of a first dip system. Herman Ivey taught me that people around the building, connected to the building, they find out what's going on. They find out when actually the ordinance came through to be written. In 2015, when they seen what was going on, that's when it got complicated.
It got complicated.
Very complicated.
And so you went to court. Somehow or another, you had to go to court to get something on the ballot for this upcoming year.
Well, because of the fact that they put caps on the ordinances, what they shouldn't have. You know, when it was really written by, and Kim Sims kind of handled the football at first in 2015. And she went and found Jake, somebody who had helped write the ordinance and follow the state policy. So the thing was, is that once Jake started writing the ordinance, then all of a sudden it went through a regime change, and then it came in a new mayor, and then came in Troy Bill. At that point in time, it got convoluted.
Okay. And so the requirements got stricter?
Well, they got stricter. They put caps on it when they shouldn't have. See, because each dispensary is actually provides a stimulus where it pays between $50,000 and $59,000 per dispensary pays excise tax to the city. So for instance, if you have 20 dispensaries, that's $1 million. So you see the city of Muskegon up and down Laketon, they have all the dispensaries, and they got over $600,000-$700,000 in excise taxes. And Hikes should have had that. Should have been Hikes first. That's what we planned it.
It didn't make it to the ballot last year. Because you started this process last year.
I started this process last June. I had my attorney come from Cannabis Council. He said the best way to do it is a petition is the highest form of freedom of speech for a citizen, we the people, that you can actually redress the government. So the attorney came down and we accessed minivan. We went around and got the signatures. And based on the last election, we needed about 120. We got 160 that were actually certified. We know that they were good. We took them to the city clerk. We dropped them off on July the 18th, and by statute, they had 45 days by statute and law to verify the signatures.
And based on what you tell them, she was giving like bad advice.
She was giving bad advice by the city attorney. The city attorney, I don't know why, but I don't know if he was just new, no government experience, no marijuana experience, but he actually gave the city and the city clerk bad advice.
So now you file a court with the county, you file a case with the county.
With the county.
And Judge Caso issue an opinion, a ruling.
Issue an opinion. We tried to go in January 12th, and there was no show. I wasn't really mad because my mother was in the hospital. Then all of a sudden, he had it again in February to come to court, and all of a sudden, people were sick. And then in March, it was just a no show. So came last month, he ordered everybody to court to deal with the ruling. At that point in time, it got real complicated.
Wow. But you got a favorable ruling.
Favorable ruling, because based on case law, everything I did is by the book. It's decent and proper. from the start when I hired a lobbyist in 2015. My classmate, Dan Farhat, he was for Capital Strategies Group. We lobbied, paid over $2,000 a month. I got over probably about $80,000 in seed money invested at this point. So it has to be done right for the citizens.
How much you got invested?
About $80,000.
Wow. Wow.
So I can't let that go.
It ain't sold a plant yet.
Ain't sold a plant. You know, but, you know.
Have you smoking up a bunch of plants.
Yeah. I mean, but that's, see, as a stakeholder, that's a chance you take. And my son, at some point in time, will probably venture back. But he got so frustrated at the politics involved that he just kind of just backed off. Because he was pre-approved for a growth facility, which should have been, he had, should have had a choice between 100, 500, and 2,000. But they only had 2,000s. So they kind of locked out a lot of people.
So what you're trying to do is open up the gates for more people to get in.
And level the playing field. You know, it shouldn't be just that the black bourgeois and just have a shot. If you're from certain families, from certain churches, that you have first dibs at everything. It can't, the city can't last like that, Paul.
Wow. Right now there are what, five licenses?
There's five licenses.
Is that the cap?
That's the cap. They,
they're all gone.
Well, I can't really say what happened to them because I didn't even really look. My attorneys, we sat down one day and looked at some of the licenses and we kind of seen who they had. We was like, okay, the best route is just go back and sue, put it on the ballot and let we the people decide.
So come November, you're working on the wording. When you get the wording together, I'm sure it's going to be approved. It would be on the ballot in November?
November.
For primary?
On the ballot in November.
And the people should vote yes on the amendment?
Once the language is, based on the language, I want to say yes, because we have to have the language draw up by my attorney and the attorney that the Hikes has.
Okay. All right. But and the whole goal is to now lower the minimum.
Lower the minimum, have smoking facilities. You also can have a festival license where somebody can have a festival at Montlake Park like they did out
in
the township. Everything that they offer, I want Muskegon Hikes to have.
They can't do that now?
Right now, they don't have it as liberated as it should be, and they're actually denying people opportunity to make millions over their lifetime. See, my thing, I'm trying to create about 20 millionaires over 20 years, but doing it the slow way, the proper way, save your money, reinvest in housing, reinvest in small business. It's an economic stimulus package. The same thing that Scottish Irish did after the Prohibition with alcohol, with bars, restaurants. So why would you put a cap on? Look at all the restaurants that have alcohol, you know. Bowling alleys, you name it.
If this is passed, the people say yes, we want this requirement to be lowered. How does that impact the city of Muskegon Heights?
It stimulates everything, Paul, because right now they need money for the roads. They need money for building homes, infrastructure. They could use $2 million a year. I think so. And right now 70% of the marijuana is still on the black market. So why would you deny your own people to come out of the mud legally? If you had a felony or misdemeanor, you also can get a grant for $25,000 in other cities. So I just can't understand for the life of me why they would deny their own people the opportunity at a chance to become millionaires over their lifetime.
Maybe it's because they're not controlling what they do with the money.
And
you understand? What does that make sense?
It makes a little sense. But see, the thing about it is, see, just like in basketball and football and music, it's open competition.
Right.
Well, why would you not want to compete with 100 plants, 500 plants, and 2,000 in the best man win? Right now, they artificially set a cap to try to pick a winner.
What is that cap? Because I keep hearing you say cap. What is the cap?
There's five. They have like five for 2,000 plants. And the rest of them is so convoluted that when my attorney asked for the ordinance, they had a hard time even sending which ordinance was which. So we want to just put it back on the ballot just to make it clear. I'm just tired of spending money digging for facts. I want the people to decide. And my thing is, I don't want to destroy the people who have a license, but I'm going to disrupt the whole process. I want to disrupt it to the point that it's on the ballot.
Darwin Smith is here in the studio. We live talking about a recent ruling here in Muskegon County that could impact marijuana licenses in the city of Muskegon Heights and potentially open up the doors for minorities and blacks to get facilities. How is this process with marijuana? Who approves the marijuana licenses? Is that the city council thing? Is there a committee or what?
The city council and a committee. The way they had it before, they had a committee. And I just didn't want to dig into all the names because it just wasn't worth my time. But it was a committee to decide.
Do you believe there's some intertwine between the committee and people who might have gotten licenses?
Nepotism, Paul. Nepotism, nepotism.
You know, is this stuff on? Is this online? Like the committee's online?
It isn't. You know, like I said, the paperwork you have to kind of dig for. And
they
just
make it that easy, bro.
So,
oh, darn.
Paul, that's why I got an attorney.
You're gonna
man.
Have me go drink some wine after this interview.
That's why I got an attorney. And I'm gonna tell you the worst part about it. The worst part about it after the April 12th when we went to court is that T. Smith left and went to Karen's office and he threatened her, if you don't get down and drop the case, because I know I'm gonna lose. So therefore, he threatened her that he would try to damage her career.
Wow.
So that's the worst part about it. So she had to go ahead and file a police report, talk to the prosecutor, talk to the county administrator, notify people in City Hall, because I don't understand why he went after her when I'm the one who filed the case.
Wow. So you created some enemies at City Hall.
I got $8,000 invested, so they call it what they want to. I'm a stakeholder.
But you are friends with the mayor. I know you.
I'm
Kim
friends
Sims.
With the mayor.
And I
supported the mayor. I supported Kim Sims. But at the same time, policy is about a rational self-interest. When I have money invested as a stakeholder, I mean, I got to protect my kids, man. Right. You know, I got to protect the interest for the whole community because, you know, on my mother's side of the family, I'm a second generation entrepreneur. My father, I'm a third. Right. And the third generation, you're obligated to do something for the community as a whole.
Right.
Something that can actually enrich other people.
Your daddy is a doctor. So who in his family before him?
My grandfather was an entrepreneur. He actually sold pigs and hogs and chickens out of his farm. He built a lot of houses back
down
in
south?
No, up north. Right. Where you see the highway, they tore most of the houses that he built down. You know, when Malcolm says that urban renewal was Negro removal,
right,
they tore all the stuff down that he built. He built his church. He helped build my dad's office on Sherman Street. My dad and my uncle, they were all builders.
Now, Darwin, you have a company. It's an economic, what's the name of the company?
Well, actually, it's a committee. It's called Muskegon House Empowerment Committee. It was just made by my attorney from Cannabis Council for a ballot question. And the ballot question was that should people actually have the ability to participate at all levels in the marijuana industry?
Wow. And you really believe that that a lot of people have been shut out of this game, that they should have been involved?
Of course they have. Just look at who actually owns it. Imagine that since 1970, when Richard Nixon had the Controlled Substance Acts, and you had classification class 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you had classification with punitive punishment. So since 1970, the most people in prison for drugs is black and brown people. You go to any college or university, look at all the people using any drug in the world. So they don't target white people. They target black and brown people. And the prison population speak for that. Those are just known facts.
Can we find out online who owns licenses? Because I'd like to know. I know good brother Justin Williams, this business is one of the licenses. Mm-hmm.
You can find it online. You know, it's available to the state. Anybody can look it up.
On the state.
Laura.
On Laura, it's in there.
Oh, okay.
You know, matter of fact, you know, the marijuana, you can go to the marijuana cannabis agency, and it's all listed. Every county.
Wow. We're live in the studio with Darwin Smith. If you got a question for Darwin, no, you can call in 231-722-8338. You got a question for Darwin. This going to be on the ballot in November, so I know we're going to be talking a little bit more about it when you get the language together.
Well, still right now, the city council has to actually have a resolution. They have to have a resolution to pass it based on the judge's decision, and they have until the 23rd to actually certify the signatures. Then they have until August the 13th to have all the language down to the county.
So they will have to do that?
They have to do it. The judge has specified it.
Okay.
You know, that was a ruling because he looked at the merits of the case and he looked at everything that had been done. So this is all, like I said, decent and proper.
Wow. There you go. Rob, anything? You gonna get in, bro?
Bruh, what I did hear you say, you can have a misdemeanor or a felony and still own one of these licenses.
Well, what it is that, see, you can still own the real estate. So you can own the real estate, and then a person, you can link up with a person, and they can actually own the company two parts, like me and my son. I own the real estate. You know, I've been in trouble before. He has a license. I mean, his record is clean. He actually can pad a license in his name. So okay. people can still be involved. Because right. in this country, if you had a felony misdemeanor, you can still own real estate. So you can always be involved.
Where's the money at in the marijuana game? Where's the real money at?
The real money is actually in the processors, because the processors, they don't have as much quality control. So the processors, if you have, like, say, 10 in the city, those are the ones who have the highest gross margin. That's where you have to use a lot of water. You can make juices. You can make gummies. You can make brownies. So the processors, those will be the multimillionaires over the next 20 years.
Will there be any processors in Muskegon Heights?
I want everything to be take the caps off.
And, so know, this vote would take the cap off of that?
Off everything. And then what it is that the way we had it is there's a vertical integration. You can have a provision center, a dispensary. You can have a processor. You can also have, you know, the grower. So when you have them within a mile, then you don't have to actually pay transportation fee. It's the same thing that gentleman that did out on Apple Avenue.
Okay.
You know, so it's being done. It's been discussed for a long time. And the people who actually have the knowledge know about it. So if they do it the right way, then it'll be a lot of people in Muskegon Heights who actually have the ability to be like the new Seagrams, the new Jim Crow, the new 1738, because they have to make a brand. They gotta learn genetics, learn how to grow, learn how to cultivate. And the main thing, Paul, is actually to stimulate the building trades. If you build a new facility, you need to be a plumber, electrician, right. HVAC, wiring. So it's about nation building skills. It's about taking these boys away from the game where they're dealing with guns and fentanyl, and they're taking the fentanyl powder and putting on marijuana. Now the marijuana has to go through a process of quality control.
Wow. Darwin Smith is in the building. When you get the language, definitely come back. We want to talk a little bit more about this. This is eye-opening. Rob, I didn't know all this stuff, man. Like,
I didn't either. It's just like us having a tour of a grow facility
down the street
from us. Mm-hmm. And the young man that is a part of that, mm-hmm. I was talking about my time back in the day, you mm-hmm. know, when we used to grow weed.
For sure.
It wasn't this technical.
No.
You know, no. The dude was like, yeah, you need this type of water, this type of fertilizer.
Lights, everything.
Lights, you need the temperature to be here at this part. You need temperature to be at that part. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole technicality to all that.
It is. And my advantage is that when I went to Ferris, I was actually walking across campus one day. Went to the pharmacy building, found a license, and I found a wallet. I picked it up. Took it to the dean of students, and I said, I found a wallet. He looked inside. It was $300. He said, "Why? I can't believe you did that." I said, "What do you mean? My mother was a pharmacist here." He said, "Excuse me?" Yeah. So he went and looked at my application. It said Carolyn Patterson. So at that point in time, I actually ran the greenhouse. So this stuff I did when I was in college, I ran the greenhouse. But back then, we actually had like 6 poppy plants. We did research on opium and stuff like that. With it being a C1 drug, Class 1 drug. It's based on research, but now the National Institute of Health has done a lot of studying with marijuana, so they know that it's safe. There's 120 alkaloids. They know the properties. They know what it can be done for, the CBD. So it's been actually tested a lot over the last about 25, 30 years. So the science is out there.
So when it's go be from the council, I'm sure you're going to be there. You're going to let folks know to come up, come there, and so they can hit a reading, because it could be confusing to some people.
It's going to be confusing because there's a lot of technical words. Yeah. And, you know, even to my attorneys, Matthew Abel, it's a Jewish gentleman. He spent his life just putting on the ballot in the state of Michigan. That's all he did. So he's an expert at it. You know, he go all around the nation. He go to a lot of small towns that he called Payton Place. It's the same thing to all of them. You know, people with inside information, they get a license and they try to lock everybody else out.
Uh-huh. I guess that sums it up right there.
So we said, this all he did.
Yeah. Sums that up
real quick. So he been doing this for so long, we just sat back and laughed last summer. He said, "Darwin, since you born and raised there, yeah, let's just put it on the ballot.
Let's get it on the ballot.
Let's put it on the ballot. That's all."
Will this conflict with any state law? Like,
no,
what could be on the ballot? Would it conflict with state?
See, the state already has determined what can be done, and it's spelled out. So my attorney, the Cannabis Council, that's all they do. So when they come back and they're going to let them know, okay, the language and what can be on the ballot and what they're shooting for.
All right. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, I do.
And people can follow you How can they follow you?
On Facebook. They can follow me on Facebook. All they do is inbox me, ask for a friend request, and I'll inform them on what's going on.
There you go, Mr. D's in the building. Before we go, you are running Hill Hopper's local campaign office.
Yeah, I'm the regional field coordinator. I let everybody talk me into it. Usually I stay in the background, but this time it's just so important because, you know, Angela Alsobrook in Maryland, she won.
Now, see, I don't know who she is.
She was actually the county administrator in Maryland, real sharp.
Okay.
And there's a guy who had $60 million. And people just ready for a lived experience. They're ready for to have a black woman, black man in the U.S. Senate who share our experience, know what we've been through.
Exactly.
Our grandmothers couldn't vote. Parents, grandparents couldn't vote. So it's important that, you know, the Michigan, the budget is $7.2 trillion next year. So it's just important to have somebody there who can appropriate money and solve a lot of our problems, you know.
How do you like his chances? Seem like this Slotin lady, Elisa?
Well, you know, they're trying to have a coronation ball. You know, I've been trying to get them to have a debate. Debate them at Nancy Waters' auditorium so they can see the contrast, so they can find out what she stood for. They can find out when she was in Lansing, what her staff looked like. Is it diverse or not? So there's a lot of questions that have to be answered. Whereas, like, say, him, he's been in Detroit for a while. You know, he actually has 4 Ivy League degrees, degree in economics. He was Obama's classmate in law school. He actually helped Obama win, him and Kamala Harris, Iowa, back in the camp, you know, back during the caucus back then. So, brother's very bright, extremely bright. His father was a pharmacist in Seneca, South Carolina. His grandfather was. His father was a psychiatrist. His mother was one of the first black anesthetists in the whole country.
Wow.
So, you know, the brothers wrote 5 books, been about 20, 30 movies.
She's not going to debate him, Dan.
She ain't going to debate him. She's one of the parts of
them. It's like Biden and Trump debating Cornel West, man.
They don't want no parts of him.
They don't want none of that.
No, the brother is so sharp, you know. And then you can read his book to see how he think.
Yeah.
You know, so he actually is for marginal people and trying to get people actually, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, then he actually had thyroid cancer and he was a survivor. So Obama put him on the cancer panel. And wow. So we got a deep connection based on, you know, our similar medical backgrounds.
Wow. Thank you, Mr. D. Yeah. Thank you for coming in. I know that was a lot of what you did, this investment and the lawsuit and fighting to get it on the ballot, man.
And trying to protect my list. I just can't believe, man, that Attorney T. Smith would actually attack Karen Bowie, try to destroy her career because he wanted her to get to me to drop the case. So I
we got to follow up on that because that's a whole nother show, right there.
way out of line, Paul.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Because I'm the one filed a lawsuit. Yeah. So I don't understand why he attacked her.
The attack should have came at you.
At me, for real. Yeah. I can see why he didn't, though.
Yeah. But you know. All right, Mr. D.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you for stopping by. I'm Muskegon. We're going back to more music. We're going to post this interview. We're going to also put it up on the app. And it's been recorded, so we put it up on the app. It's live in the studio. Darwin Smith is trying to do something that's going to open up the door for small, poor people like me.
Right.
Yeah. We qualify. Might want to do how many? What's the minimum?
100 plants.
100 plants. There right, you go.
You know, license.
And you can make money off of that.
Yeah. You know, you can at least make $100,000 a year, man, versus, you know, being out there in the game, going through the mud and having to deal with gun violence and fentanyl and, you know, taking penitentiary chances. You know, why do that?
There you go. It's After the Jams.